Well, thank you again for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here with you this morning. For those of you, I see some familiar faces and some new faces as well, so I'll go ahead and just explain a little bit about myself as well. My name is Emmanuel Velasco, but everyone calls me M, so if you hear M, that's me. I'm here this morning with my family over there, my wife Jocelyn, my son Silas, and my daughter Grace. And so it's a pleasure for us to be here with you this morning. Our normal congregation we normally go to is Strathmore Boulevard Church of Christ in Toronto, even though we live in Stouffville, north of the city. I bring greetings from Strathmore. I know that there's some connections between our congregations, and so I bring greetings from Strathmore. And as with my job at Great Lakes Bible College, I also have the opportunity to visit a number of different congregations. So I gotta kind of give a shout out to my family over here, because over the last year, we've probably visited 10 or 12 different congregations. And so it's been a pleasure to be able to add Oma to that list of congregations to be here with you today. I'm going to have a chance to talk a little bit about Great Lakes Bible College afterwards during the sermon. So right now I want to bring us back to this idea, the reading that we had this morning, A Light on a Hill. And I've got like an hour to talk. Oh, okay, sorry. How long? What time do we try to finish up here? About 10:45? Is that right? For me talking. All right, 20 minutes. I can do it. If your bottom starts to hurt, blame Harold. So this morning I want to talk about the idea of light on a hill. And what does that look like in our modern society here in Canada? You know, today was a great example of the discomfort of light. We had daylight savings last night, and so our bodies are used to having darkness at a certain time. And I'm sure you guys can agree, darkness can actually be quite comfortable. It can be very comfortable to be in the dark. And when you wake up in the morning, maybe if you're a young person and you have parents, you've been soundly asleep, and then suddenly your parents come in and they turn on the lights and they say, "Hey, time to get up for school." And you're thinking, "Oh man, oh, it can't be time already." That light in your eyes really doesn't feel good. Or maybe you are a parent or have been a parent and you're trying to sleep in on a Saturday, and then the kids come and say, "It's Saturday, let's go." And you're thinking, "I'm trying to sleep in." Darkness is actually comfortable. And when it's not comfortable, what do? Well, you try to block out the light, try to cover up your eyes. So I want to make a comparison today between shining your light in different contexts. What did it look like on the day of Pentecost? What does it look like in Canadian society today? We're also going to try to look at some strategies on how to make the light make sense in Canadian society. And we'll ask some application, or go through some applications as well. So first, let's go to Acts 2. I won't read through it because this is actually quite a familiar passage. But if you want to go back and read it, go ahead and read in Acts 2, Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost. So to set the stage, this is after Jesus has died and gone back. It's the day of Pentecost. The Jews who were Christians, they weren't yet called Christians, but those who believed in Jesus as a Savior, they were gathered in Jerusalem, and then the Spirit came down, and Peter was able to preach. And he preaches to all of these Jews who were also gathered in Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost. And it says that thousands were repentant on that day. Peter said, repent and be baptized, and thousands responded. And so it's easy for us as Canadians today to look at that and think, why don't thousands of people respond today? Well, let's consider the context. Let's consider the audience first. All of the people that Peter was talking to, they considered themselves Jews. They were part of a culture and religion that at that point for thousands of years had honored God. So it was built into their society, into their culture. We honor God. They knew what it meant to sin, and they had knowledge of the Messiah, of this person who was going to come and be the Messiah. So the groundwork was there. The groundwork was there in terms of who they were as a people, the knowledge that they had. And finally, the active participation of those people was there. These were people who, if they weren't actively people who were shouting, crucify him, they were witness to that. They knew somebody else who was there. So when we talk about the events leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection, they were there. People that they knew were there. And so it's actually no surprise that thousands of them would respond and say, I need to repent and be baptized. So let's contrast that with today, with Canadian society. In 2019, I've got these statistics from Stats Canada. In 2019, over two-thirds of the population in Canada reported having some religious affiliation. So about 63% of Canadians called themselves Christian. About 25% said they had no religious or secular perspectives. That's quite different from the audience that Peter was speaking to. You dive in a little bit deeper. In 2019, religious affiliation, only 20% of Canadians, and this is not just people who are Christians, but any type of religious affiliation, only 20% attended religious activities at least once a month. So think about that. That means that we're here on a Sunday, that already puts us in the minority. That already puts us in the minority. And that actually decreases even more. The younger you are, the less likely it is that you're going to attend religious services. So what does it look like when we have a spotlight, or the light, land in Canada? You know, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he was really shining the light on people's sin. And their response was, oh man, we've made a mistake. We gotta do something about it. That same message could be said in Canada, but how's it gonna land? Well, in contrast with the day of Pentecost, our audience looks different. They've got a different understanding. We're not strongly unified in identity. By many counts, we do not honor God in Canada. There's no recognition or a different understanding of sin. And often people have no knowledge of Jesus, whereas on the day of Pentecost, everyone kind of knew. Everyone was involved. Today, we are hundreds of years removed from those events. So if we say something like that, it's a lot like that Monday morning or that Saturday morning. If we try to shine light on people's sin, they're going to be shocked. They might try to block out the light. And in fact, they might try to turn around and ignore the light. Shock, block, turn around. So as Christians, how can we ease the discomfort of that? I'm not saying that we should not talk about it, but how can we make it more understandable? I want you to picture being in the wilderness. Has anyone been in the wilderness? I guess Milton used to be quite rural. I was just talking with Ernie. Milton used to be rural, but now there's streetlights everywhere. Have you ever been in the darkness, like a real dark forest? That can actually, it can kind of be scary. But if you see a light in the distance, if you see a light in the distance, you walk towards it and you think, hey, there's something over there. I remember being up north one time and I thought I was on a path, but it was overcast. I couldn't even see the stars above me. And so I was walking in the darkness. I was tripping over things, over logs, and I saw a light in the distance. It was a campfire. And I thought, I don't know where I'm going right now, but I know I'm walking towards that. It was something that I could focus on and move towards. Instead of being shocked with a spotlight in my eyes, I saw something that was good, and I moved towards it. And in fact, with time, we understand that light is a necessity for life. So how does a spotlight land in Canada? Sometimes people get shocked, they block, they turn it around, and likely we're landing, it falls on uncomprehending ears. Think about three people that you know from work or school or your neighborhood. How much would they know about Jesus, God, or the Bible? You see, we shouldn't be discouraged if our contacts, if our friends, if our family are shocked by the light. If we start to talk about God, they might be shocked. They might turn away. They might try to hide from it. Let's not be surprised when that happens. Let's not be discouraged if they don't realize the value that that light brings. Sometimes it takes a minute for people to understand the value. How can we make the light make sense in Canada? Well, we set up that campfire in the darkness, and we invite others into the light. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, the reading that we had this morning. As Christians, we need to understand that our morality is not the path to salvation. My morality comes hand in hand with salvation. So that's something that's pretty unique from other religions. Many other religions will say, if you live a moral life, then you will be saved. Christianity says, on our own, we cannot be moral. On our own, we are imperfect. That's why we need Jesus. And once we are saved, then morality, living in God's light, comes along with that, hand in hand. Unfortunately, in Canada, Christians have the reputation of being holier than thou. But our good works are hand in hand with an act of faith, not the totality of it. Matthew 25, verse 40, Jesus says, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Simple acts of faith. There's no need for us to advertise our mistakes, the mistakes that we make in our life, but don't be too wary about letting people know about our mistakes. That's one thing we can take out of that. How can we invite others into the light? If we've got an opportunity to share a little bit about some of the mistakes we've made in our life, then we can say, hey, here's something, I made a mistake, but God forgave me. That's actually a good lesson to share. We can serve and take opportunities to remind ourselves and others why we serve. So in terms of morality, I might be a generous person. And somebody might say, you know, thank you for being generous. And I could say, oh, it's nothing. But does that give glory to God? What I could say is, I am generous because God has been generous with me. If somebody says, you know, you're a really kind person, and I'm sure some of you in this congregation have had that, somebody said, why are you so nice? You don't just say, oh, just because I am. I'm nice. I'm nice because God has been kind to me. And if we're open and honest about who we are and why we are the way we are, we're inviting people into the light. While my mistakes may be covered, can they be shared to give God the glory? A second thing we can do to make the gospel make sense, we can have a genuine and enduring faith. This morning in our Bible class, we talked about faithfulness. Faithfulness grows in due time. Faithfulness doesn't look and sound just one way. And faithfulness happens not because we're connected to each other, but because we're connected to God the Father through Jesus. So when faithfulness really is genuine and endures, we can help the gospel make sense to the world around us. Even those people who walked with Jesus, they didn't understand the kingdom or resurrection right away. We talked about, there was a study by Barna and Alpha in the US in 2019, and they studied what does sharing faith look like for younger generations especially, so Gen Z. I think anyone younger than me is Gen Z. So Gen Z, they didn't see sharing faith as kind of that picture that we had in Acts, standing up in a public square and shouting out to the crowd, but what they saw sharing faith as a relationship, something they do with people that they already know and trust. You know, it's hard to believe somebody who's just kind of standing up that I don't know who that is. But if it's somebody I know in my life and I can see what their life looks like, it's a lot easier for me to say, you know what, maybe there's something to what they're telling me. I know Bill Curry. I know what his life looks like. So it's easier for me to say, what Bill's telling me about the meaning of life, that makes sense. So what are some applications for a genuine and enduring faith? Well, we let our faith impact our daily lives, and don't be scared to talk about it. We let our faith impact our daily lives, not just Sundays, but every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. God is with us these other days of the week, right? So we should let it impact our lives. And don't be scared to say, this is why I live the way I live, because God has forgiven me. We can also, as a congregation, as a church, connect outside of scheduled worship times and with those at a different level of spiritual maturity. This is one lesson that has been so, so important for me in the last 10 years. To connect with people at a different level of spiritual maturity. Because what that does is that gives me the chance to see what faithfulness looks like over a long period of time. It allows me to encourage those behind me by going out and being at Camp Oma, for example. I have the chance to connect with campers, with staff, we're all on different timelines, and being able to see a genuine and enduring faith throughout a lifetime is so important. And so I encourage you as a church to do that. Connect outside of worship times and with those at a different level of spiritual maturity. Here's a reflection question. Do I know how the person next to me spends their week? So if you're sitting next to somebody that you're married to, then I hope you know how they spend the rest of their week. But maybe in the pew behind you or a couple rows behind you, do we know how we spend time outside of today? Are we connecting? So here's some other practical examples. Not just to know God or know each other, but be known. Ministry, simple service. Matthew 25 to chapter 25, verses 31 to 45, Jesus is talking about those people that know God, and have served. It's the stranger who was brought in, the naked were clothed, the sick were visited. These are simple acts of service that we can execute, and it doesn't have to be stuff like being up front. There's lots of ways to serve. Make yourself known. Invite others to fellowship and for fellowship. Inviting people on a Sunday is a wonderful thing, but I'll tell you, getting to know somebody, that's going to happen more often and in a more meaningful way if you say, hey, let's meet up for a coffee. Come over for dinner. Making yourself known and fellowshipping, that is a wonderful way to grow and to make others get and allow others to get to know what a faithful life looks like. And meet each other's needs. This is a simple thing we can do. Ask people, how can I help you? If you're in need, put your hand up and say, I need someone to X, Y, Z. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to just sit with me for a while. As a church, we need to be comfortable to not just provide help, but ask for help. I'll reread Matthew 5, 14, chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So when light comes to us quickly, we get shocked and surprised, but we're less shocked when we instead approach the light. And we can sometimes seek to block the light, but with time, we understand that light is a necessity for life. The spotlight on Pentecost was different than the spotlight we have today in Canadian society, but what we can do is we can confront the truth and give opportunities for people to confront the truth. Canadian society today, it's different from that of Pentecost. But what we can do is we can help the light make sense. We can help the light make sense to the world around us by inviting others into the light and by having a genuine and enduring faith. And we can do some applications to know and be known. Those are some simple ways that we can let our light shine. So I'll close off with a reminder that today, if you are not living a faithful life, or if you need the prayers of the church, you can come forward. If you need to take the next step in wherever you are in your faith walk, that you can come forward. We've heard the gospel. If you've believed that Jesus is Christ, if you have repented, confessed before men, and you've been immersed in baptism, then you've done a good chunk. But the last part is to be faithful. If you're anywhere in that stage and you need the prayers of the congregation, I'll ask that you come forward for prayers as we have our hymn. Do we have another hymn? Our hymn of invitation, hymn number 853.